You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports.
Good morning, race fans, and welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. I'm your host, Landon Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me in the studios, Hank Williams Jr., long-lost relative, Jeremiah Pinnon. How are you doing today, sir?
Well, the effects of not sleeping from the past couple days during the marathon finally caught up to me.
Yep, exactly.
That gigantic thing of coffee that you saw me drinking, it's gone now. Or not completely gone. It's gone out of my system.
What about that breakfast pizza?
That's still in the fridge.
Still in the fridge waiting to be ate.
No, one of them is down, though.
Oh, one of them is down.
Already down.
One of them is already down. Interesting.
Not just from me.
Oh.
Not from me. Not only from me. I mean, I've had about, like, I'll say, like, 5 slices from it.
Yeah.
But.
Well.
Yeah.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us on this Monday of May 6th. It's currently 7:48 a.m. here in Indianapolis, Indiana. But let's get right down to some NASCAR news. The closest finish in NASCAR Cup Series history occurred yesterday.
Kyle Larson with the win.
Yeah, absolutely insane. I think the over 3-hour rain delay was well worth it. Well worth it. For this finish, the cars were able to go under the lights at Kansas Speedway. 0.001 seconds, Kyle Larson beat Chris Buescher. And I was pulling for Chris Buescher, man. I truly was. I wanted to see a Ford get to victory lane. They hadn't been to victory lane all season long. I know my Uncle Don probably was. It has been a struggle this season for Ford. This is the longest winless streak to start a season Ford has ever had in NASCAR Cup Series history. And Chris Buescher, he had a rocket ship. He truly had a rocket ship. That car was very fast. Led quite a few laps yesterday.
And he probably could have won if he had shut Larson out.
Yeah.
Like he probably should have done, but.
Which, I don't even know. That Kansas Speedway is a great track. Mile and a half tracks are amazing when it comes to this next gen car.
And you know
great racing.
Yeah. And you know that the race is going to be good when you get a 5 wide
early on
in the race.
The reason why a lot of drivers really enjoy racing at these mile and a half racetracks because, for example, Kyle Larson, it gives it that dirt track feel because you don't have one groove that all the cars are going to run at. There's not just one groove. There are drivers searching for grip all over the racetrack. At Kansas, you had cars on the bottom, cars running the middle. You had cars all the way close to the wall, which that's the Kyle Larson line and the Tyler Reddick line that they love to run, is get up right up against that wall and get the momentum off the top side. I mean,
then pull directly into.
Yeah, exactly. They get a run off the outside. Once they run the outside line, 1 and 2, they could either, if they have a run off the back straightaway, could go down to the bottom and try to slide job up towards the top of the racetrack to take that position away. Or if they don't have a run off the back straightaway, they can run the top again in 3 and 4, get a huge, huge run, carry that momentum off of turn number 4 and towards the start-finish line, make the pass going into 1 and 2. But Kansas Speedway just produces great races.
It almost always does.
The years go on and on with the battle with Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson back in the 2000s where Carl Edwards tried to do a video game move and
that was
the Office Depot days with Carl Edwards in the 99 for Roush Fenwick. Wow, that is a long time ago. Wow. And it was pretty crazy. He basically just sent it on Jimmy Johnson and tried to slide job, hit the wall, then Jimmy Johnson went by him. But wow. I mean, it's just great racing at Kansas, and a lot of fans just enjoy it because the drivers are having to search for grip every single lap, and a lot of drivers are running different lines compared to each other. You have drivers running the bottom, middle, and top, like I said, which produces great racing and just gives it that NASCAR type of feel because there's so many lines you can run, and it's just it's fast. Kansas is a fast mile-and-a-half racetrack, as approved yesterday with the closest finish in NASCAR Cup Series history.
And we got to see it.
Yeah, we got to see it. Yeah, it was awesome.
Hamlin had a pretty good.
Oh yeah, he had a good. I mean, he has the best. He has 4 wins at Kansas Speedway, the best numbers out of any driver currently racing in the NASCAR Cup Series.
I was genuinely surprised he ended up in 5th.
Yeah, well, the reason for that was when Kyle Busch unexpectedly spun out, and it caused a late caution.
Mm-hmm.
Drivers went into overtime, and
it was almost a night race.
Yeah, yeah, and everyone was coming down to pit road because Denny Hamlin was saving fuel. He was saving mm-hmm. fuel. And Martin Truex Jr. was catching him. He was going to – I believe Martin Truex Jr., if that caution did not come out,
Truex
was going to win the race. But
then the caution, Kyle
Busch spun out, and I'm not sure what the call was or who made the call on pit road. I mean, it was James Small, who's the crew chief. He's the leader of the pit crew. He brings Martin Truex Jr. in and takes 4 tires. I was not a fan of that strategy because he went from 2nd to 10th on the final restart. And he finished 4th. I'm not a fan of that call. I think that call was very silly. You could have restarted on the front row and you...
He could have pulled the Lightning McQueen maneuver. No tires, just gas.
No tires, just gas. But no, you could have took right sides and you could have came out 2nd out of the pits and you
easily
you came out 10th, which was so silly. That was a silly strategy. Like, 9 cars in front of you took 4 tires. That's exactly what. They all took 2 tires. You have 2 laps to go. What do you need 4 tires for? I mean, you came back to finish 4th. That's not like you're going from 10th to 1st. With the restart and the craziness of Kansas Speedway, it was like 4 to 5 wide almost throughout the pack on that final restart, and I don't understand. Time and time again, the calls that James Small has made on the pit stand for Martin Truex Jr. have cost Martin Truex Jr. many wins in his NASCAR Cup Series career. Any of you Martin Truex Jr. fans with me? My mom is, and just people that follow NASCAR. If you know. It's happened many times. It has, and I've talked about it. Last season with Maxwell Gilley. We talked about this with James Small costing Martin Truex Jr. wins. It's
a pattern of behavior that's going to keep happening.
Yeah, it's got to change.
Speaking of some other guys who didn't really have a good day, let's talk about Austin Cindric and Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, Austin Cindric was caught up in a big wreck. Jimmy Johnson.
Didn't I see some flames on one of them? One of the cars?
I have no
idea. Or is
idea.
That just backfire?
It could be backfire. But I know Jimmy Johnson... I believe he crashed out. I'm pretty sure he crashed out. He was involved in a wreck with Corey LaJoy. Mm-hmm.
There was one 3-car wreck.
Yeah, which was a Jimmy Johnson. There's a big one with Bubba Wallace, Austin Cindric, and but we're going to go over the top 10 results. Kyle Larson picking up his 2nd win of the season. 2nd, Chris Buescher. Great points day for RFK Racing. Showing some speed. Just has to put it all together. He was so close. That team was having a great run.
It was literally the closest race
in NASCAR Cup Series. Yeah.
You literally pretty much determined by the pixels on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. Third, Chase Elliott.
He
was a very quiet day for Mr. Elliott. He just kind of showed up at the end, in the back of the top 10.
Like a freaking ghost.
Yeah, back.
Just, poof. Hey, I'm here.
He was in the back of the top 10 the majority of the day. He wasn't even running in the top 5 at all. I never saw him once running hardly the top 5. He was like 9th to 10th best, but that final restart, hey.
That one helped him a lot.
Fourth, Martin Truex Jr. Fifth, Denny Hamlin. He took two tires, but
he was having a pretty good day too. Like he was up front for a good chunk of the beginning.
Yeah, he won the first stage.
He was up front for a good chunk of the end, and then
the restart that Kyle Larson had, the final restart, was absolutely insane. What a run! He said he was going for it regardless, and went three wide, and he went for it. Six, Christopher Bell. Great result for that team. They've had some really bad luck, especially in the month of April.
Mm-hmm.
Sat on pole and
just hasn't.
It finished sixth. It was a good day. It was still a good day. Seventh, Alex Bowman. Great result for him. Eighth, Kyle Busch, from him causing the caution before the final restart to come back eighth.
To be fair, though, eighth place is pretty good for causing a restart.
Yeah. Ninth, Noah Gregson. He qualified fourth. He qualified third, actually, ladies and gentlemen, for Stuart Haas Racing. He had the Bass Pro Shop paint scheme, which the...
Always appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. The first Bass Pro Shop... I'm going to say first Bass Pro Shop, or the home base, I would say, is in Missouri, I'm pretty sure.
Best pickup away.
Which
there.
That's not far from, which if you look geographically on the United States map, Missouri, Kansas, and Kansas City, and then Kansas Speedway is right, like, on the outskirts of Kansas City. It's just a drive over the interstate to get from Kansas City, Kansas, back to Missouri, so it's not that far.
It's pretty close to.
Yeah, it's very. Yeah, it's.
Indy is pretty close to Indiana.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, Speedway. But yeah, you have Noah Gregson finishing ninth. He has been the lead driver this season at Stuart Haas Racing. It has been a very disappointing season for Stuart Haas Racing. I mean, we've seen more competitiveness, yes, but still, one car finishing in the top 10 is not good. It's not good enough. And I would have expected Chase Briscoe to have taken this leap of improvement once Kevin Harvick retired and be the lead driver, but no, it's been the Noah Gregson show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Ryan Preece would have took a step of improvement. Josh Berry's a rookie, but, I mean, he has potential. We've seen it. He's had top 10, top 5 speed at many tracks. Hasn't finished in the top 10 all season long, but Stuart Haas Racing has got to figure it out. They have to figure out.
Whether it be better tuning within your cars, get a little bit, I don't know, just give you guys a little bit more of an edge.
Yep.
Is all we're saying.
Exactly. And finishing 10th was Michael McDowell. Great result for Front Row Motorsports. It was a hard-earned top 10 for Michael McDowell. Had a very fast hot rod at Kansas Speedway.
He's had a very fast hot rod.
All season long. Yeah, really.
He's been up top 10 for a little bit, and I've seen his name keep popping up.
Exactly.
After you wrecked everybody
at Talladega.
I'm not giving that up.
He's not giving it up.
This is going to be like my thing with the freaking chassis. I'm not going to give it up anytime soon.
But ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. And we're going to move on to some Formula One news. Formula One was in Miami this weekend, and Lando Norris from McLaren, after over 100 Grand Prix starts, picks up his first career Formula One win in the beaches of Miami. So, I mean, I watched the highlights of this race. Max Verstappen dominated the majority of this race, and he went off track, hit the bollard, hit a cone, and I don't know if that's a penalty or not in Formula One. I'm pretty sure it was, because he came to pit road right after, And Lando Norris started fifth and won at Miami, which is pretty incredible when it comes to starting and finishing position in Formula One. Because, yes, I mean, to any of you IndyCar fans and Formula One fans, Formula One is nothing like IndyCar when it comes to starting and finishing positions. I mean, you could go from, I mean, Scott Dixon has started many races towards the back of the field and has won. And Formula One's just not like that. It really isn't. Qualifying really matters. And a fifth to first is probably one of the best drives I have seen in a very long time when it comes to seeing someone win a Formula One race. I mean, I've obviously seen Lewis Hamilton start, you know, last and win, which that was at Brazil in 2021, which was one of the best drives I've ever seen. But Max Verstappen not winning at Miami and Lando Norris, well, that's just an incredible result for Formula One. Sorry, you Max Verstappen fans out there, but a new winner in Formula One nowadays is just unheard of because it has been the Max Verstappen show for the past 3 years. So Lando Norris picking up his first career win. Mr. Zach Brown was very happy. It was very delightful, exciting, energetic, and fun way for McLaren to just celebrate. And it's fun for the fans as well, all the Lando Norris fans. I'm a Lando Norris fan. It's just great to see a McLaren car in victory lane and someone other than Max Verstappen and Red Bull in victory lane.
Not seeing anything about a penalty.
No penalty. He went off the track, and I don't really know. He came down a pit road. I thought I heard some on the radio message like, "This is gonna be 15 seconds." 15 seconds. I don't really know, but guess it wasn't.
It might have been. It might have been.
I was watching the Formula One highlights late last night, so I don't really know. Third Charles Leclerc for Ferrari. They were rocking a, I'm trying to think of his name in cars, Guido paint scheme, I would say. The HP sponsorship, so the Ferrari made their cars light baby blue with red, and I thought that was very awesome because Guido and cars... Remember Cars 1 where he had the and he had the Ferrari pom poms and the wig, and he was he was excited for the race between Doc Hudson and Lightning McQueen, and it was pretty awesome. But anyways, fourth Carlos Sainz, fifth Sergio Perez. Yep, exactly, Mr. Penrod. He just showed me a picture of Guido. Sixth Lewis Hamilton. Man, Mercedes is struggling this season. Pace is very disappointing. It has been off. George Russell spoke in an interview after the Miami race that a good day for Mercedes is a sixth place finish, and a bad day is eighth. And George Russell finished eighth. It's just,
it was a bad day.
It was a bad day. Seventh, Yuki Tsunoda, for Visa Red Bull Cash App. I really don't know their team name. There's so many sponsors on their team name. It's like Visa Cash App Red Bull, but great result for Yuki Tsunoda. His teammate, Daniel Ricciardo.
Maybe they're telling you their Visa Cash App, it's called Red Bull.
Then you pay money to them. But
I'm sorry, the jokes.
It's all good, buddy. It's all good. But
you asked for it.
Daniel Ricciardo, his teammate, had a great showing in the sprint race, which the sprint is the qualifying race that determines the starting grid for the Formula One race on Sunday. But anyway, he finished fourth, had a lot of speed out of that car. One of the best results I've seen from Daniel Ricciardo in a very long time. The drivers took advantage of the speed they had, and then Yuki Tsunoda came out of Sunday with some points. Daniel Ricciardo didn't, unfortunately. He fell back into the field. I was really disappointed to see that he couldn't keep the pace up front with McLaren, Red Bull, and Ferrari. But, you know, it is what it is. Ninth, Fernando Alonso for Aston Martin. Pretty good result for that team. They were way more competitive last season. It seems like the pace has fallen off from the beginning of last season. It really fell off towards the later part of the season last season, and it hasn't been the same this season compared to last season. And then 10th, Esteban Ocon picking up his first point of the season and first points for Alpine. I'd like to go over the driver standings after the Miami race and after how does Lando Norris's win benefit him in the championship. First, Max Verstappen. Second, Sergio Perez. Third, Charles Leclerc. Fourth, Carlos Sainz. Fifth, Lando Norris. There's a two-point difference between Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris in the championship. Carlos Sainz with 85 and Lando Norris with 83. And then this is where the championship really just falls off. Six, Oscar Piastri with 41 points.
Ooh.
from 83 to 41. Man, Lando Norris is definitely giving Oscar Piastri the business this season.
42.
Yeah. Seventh, point. George Russell.
Ow.
He hasn't even cracked the top 40. Eighth, Fernando Alonso. Ninth, Lewis Hamilton with 27. That is rough. That is rough for Mercedes, especially Lewis Hamilton. And 10th, Yuki Tsunoda with 14 points.
Out
of all the midfield drivers, he is doing the best right now. I'd say probably doing the best when it comes to really midfield. I mean, you could count Aston Martin as a midfield team, but, I mean, they're really competing for top five. So, I mean, Yuki Tsunoda having the best season in his Formula One career. We'll go over the Constructors' Championships. First, Red Bull. Second, Ferrari. Third, McLaren. Fourth, Mercedes. Fifth, Aston Martin. Sixth, Red Bull Visa Cash App. I don't know. Seventh, Haas. Eighth, Alpine. And then ninth, Williams. And 10th, Kick Sauber. Those teams have not scored any points so far this season. So we're going to move on to some IndyCar news. But before that, we're going to take a quick 30-second break here on the All Gas and No Brakes Ratio. When we come back, we're going to discuss Able Motorsports pulling the plug on entering into the Indianapolis 500 this year. But we're going to take a quick 30-second break here in the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double check your math too. Oh yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.
Welcome back to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. I'm your host, Lena Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly. Always joining me in the studios, Jeremiah Penrose. It's currently 8:10 a.m. on this Monday of May 6th. And let's dive into some IndyCar news. The month of May, people, is here.
It's coming.
Yep, exactly. The Indianapolis 500 will be here before you know it. I'm so excited. I am so excited, people.
It is almost genuinely the one thing Indiana has.
Well, and basketball. You got to think about
a little bit.
You got to talk about basketball. Why did I say that in a New York accent? Basketball.
It's more of a, New York, Boston.
Basketball. But anyways, 20 days.
Actually, that would be like Northern Midwestern. Did you hear about the Jelanskis?
But people, 20 days until the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. Don't worry, Big Nelly has got his tickets for the race.
Big Nelly's got the tickets.
Yep.
He's got the tickets, people.
Well, he's got the tickets. Mama Nelly and Big Nelly will be at the 108th running of the Indianapolis 500. We were there at last year's race, one of the best Indianapolis 500 races I've ever seen.
It was a
great race. Joseph Newgarden picking up his first Indianapolis 500 win. And, wow, it was one of the closest finishes Indianapolis 500 history and NTT IndyCar Series history. So,
actually, now that I think about it, I was there too.
You were?
Yeah, except I wasn't watching the race.
Oh.
I was selling like program stuff.
Oh, you were, dude, you were there? Group. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I was with the scout dude, group, man, at that little merch shop. You probably passed right by
Jeremiah Penrod and Big Nelly passing by each other.
Unintentionally.
And now we're doing a radio show together. Do you think you're going to be there this year?
I don't think so. I didn't get tickets.
You could still get tickets. You could get general admission tickets, or you could sit in a seat, dude. You could still get tickets.
Or
I'm sitting in the Northwest Vista. I'm taking my mom.
Or
so
I could, and hear me out on this one.
Okay.
Make some like nice little chorizo dip.
Yep.
And then just have that at my house.
And then you just watch it.
Then just watch it on.
That's
TV.
True. And you could have an after race party.
That is true too.
Yeah. Big Nelly,
get some cases of Mountain Dew.
Big Nelly and Mama Nelly could stop by because you talked about you have some good brisket and you have some good steak or whatever. I don't know. You know how to grill out, brother.
I know how to grill.
So
Mama taught her boy how to cook.
Yeah, he said that Mama taught her boy how to cook. Sounded like the water boy for a second.
I love that.
I so love that. I truly do. But yeah, 20 days until the greatest spectacle in racing. yeah, and we have 5 days until the NTT IndyCar Series is back on the track at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for the Sancio Grand Prix, which is the Indy road course for the NTT IndyCar Series, which will be here in 5 days.
And if you are a Warren Zeiders fan, sorry to interrupt, we got 11 days until he drops his new song.
Yep, has nothing to do with auto
Absolutely
racing.
Absolutely nothing to do with but
Mr. Penrod had to say it, so
Look, he has been teasing this song for months now, and it has been driving me absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Because all he has given us is just the chorus, and then he's recently given us one of the verses.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what occurs.
And it's kind of annoying, but at the same time, it's like
this is what occurs.
Hyped up the song and said
during the after hours of the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. This is what occurs. Mr. Penrod.
This is what happens after the marathon of me not getting enough sleep.
It's okay, buddy. It was still great. Right. It was a great time.
It was a good time. Let's
dive into some IndyCar news here. Able Motorsports will not be entering the Indianapolis 500 this year due to lack of funding.
Ouch.
Which is unfortunate because
they should have put their Cash App in the name.
Wow. That's great. that's so great, buddy.
Sorry.
But they qualified for their first Indianapolis 500 last year with RC Enerson. It's unfortunate. It really is. I love the Indianapolis 500. I love when a ton of cars enter the race because I love bump day. Bump day is truly special. Qualifying day, pole day is the same day as bump day. But it is truly unbelievable, the pressure, the anxiety, the stress. It's just, I mean, the energy. It's like the goosebumps you feel when it comes to pole day and bump day.
You step on the track, you feel everybody's just nervous, anxiety. Yeah,
because bump day, there's someone going home not making the field of the Indianapolis 500.
Hence why it's called bump day.
Yep, exactly.
You bumped off.
Yep. Yep, I got this article from motorsport.com with Joey Barnes being the author. We've had quite a few of his articles mentioned on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. This is what John Brunner had to say, the team manager of Able Motorsports. We are out. We are pulling the plug. We are absolutely done. I stretched Chevrolet out longer than they wanted. They've been awesome through the whole thing. They've been so supportive all the way from the time that we ended last year until this morning. So that's what John Brunner had to say more. He said, you know, whatever you guys need. Oh, this is not what he said, actually. This is what Rob Buckner had to say, which he is the Chevrolet IndyCar program manager. You know, whatever you guys need, we are here. You got our support. I'd already put them, I'm sure, past their deadline, and they were just standing there right with me saying, let me know. It's over as of this morning. I notified Chevrolet this morning at 9 o'clock. So that's not even Rob Buckner. That was actually John Brunner. So, geez, I'm so sorry, guys. But, yeah, it's unfortunate. It truly is. But Able Motorsports is also in the Indy Next Championship. So this is what Brunner had to say more about that. Our focus is Indy Next, trying to win this championship with Jacob. We just need to look at it towards the end of the season where we're at with that. So that's the son of team owner Bill Abel, Jacob Abel. So Jacob Abel driving for his dad in the Abel Motorsports' Indy Next program. So, yeah, but this is interesting. Here's some more interesting news, but Abel Motorsports not entering the Indianapolis 500 doesn't mean that they will not enter in future IndyCar races.
Provided they have the proper funding.
Yeah, provided they have the proper funding. But this is what team manager Brunner had to say. Brunner was quick to note the team could look at contesting some IndyCar races later this season. This is quoted by Brunner here. Depending on what's happening there, will we consider doing something late in the year with Jacob as the driver? Yeah, we are going to look at it. So that's awesome. But yeah, that's great. So to any of you Able Motorsports fans, it's very unfortunate that Able Motorsports will not be entering the Indianapolis 500, but you could possibly be seeing an extra team added to the NTT IndyCar Series grid before the season ends with Able Motorsports. They just won't run the...
Just pop up here and
yeah,
there.
They just won't run the Indianapolis 500 this year. Yeah. All right, Mr. Penrod, are you ready for your news article, buddy?
I'm ready for your news
article.
All right,
here we go. Here we go. Here we go. NBC Sports.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. IndyCar team owner Dale Coyne, you're going to love this. You're about to love this. Believes a new car is essential for the series.
Including a new chassis?
Yep, exactly.
Yes!
So,
finally!
Yeah, so this is...
finally,
this
they
is
listen!
This is what... Yeah,
oh,
well,
we
he's...
Have
he's this, yeah, this isn't what... I mean, Dale Coyne isn't really in charge of making the new car or has anything to do with it, but he can voice his opinion as a team owner.
And he's got a little bit more weight than a couple high school students in the radio station. But,
you have that right for sure, buddy. This is what Dale Coyne had to say. I, for one, think we need a new car. Coming from a team with a smaller budget, that might be a surprise, but I think we need a newer car. Dale Coyne, this is what...
you've heard it said.
Yeah, this is what NBCSports.com says, which I agree with this, that Dale Coyne possibly fields the smallest IndyCar team based on an operating budget. So, but this is more what Dale Coyne had to say, but it's got to be designed by the right person, not designed by a committee. Agreed. It has to be
needs to be designed by a driver, I think.
It has to be the best-looking car in the world, the best-sounding car in the world, be the best racing car in the world. Love that. Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. Amen. Love that.
Get one of your drivers to do it. Like, seriously, like, a car designed by a driver is going to be...
Performance-wise, it depends.
You need to get like a driver and a couple mechanics that actually know what they're
doing.
It's
not like rest in peace to Niki Lauda, but it's not like we have Niki Lauda in the IndyCar series, unfortunately. No. I mean, he was one of the, I mean, he was in Formula One, which that is totally two different series, but
yeah.
Niki Lauda knew how to set up cars. And I mean, there's a story about him testing for Ferrari, and he said, this car drives awful. Mm-hmm. It totally drives awful. And he said, if you make all the changes I made, I will go 0.2 faster. He ended up going 0.7 faster. So, I mean, we just need...
It's a bit of an increase.
Yeah. The NTT IndyCar Series needs a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Point blank, period. That's... I mean, teams, drivers, fans...
Everybody is telling me to get a new car.
Everyone has been saying get a new car, new chassis. Like Mr. Easter would say, these Dallara 12 chassis are... teenagers now. They're not babies anymore. Okay, these IndyCar's been running these chassis since 2012. It is 2024. Okay, it is 2024, 12 years old. NASCAR has made new chassis and new cars. Formula One has made new chassis and new cars. IndyCar, what's going on? What is going on?
We have seen, like, I am not the biggest Ford fan. I used to have one and it hurt me a couple times financially. But the dark horse design for Ford.
In NASCAR. That was beautiful. It's awesome. It's all the next gen car.
It was beautiful.
Another issue is engine manufacturers trying to join IndyCar. There are only two engine manufacturers. And Honda has shown and said their displeasure with IndyCar when it comes to fielding over half of the field with Honda engines. Them and Chevrolet are getting tired of it. They are. Mostly Honda said that. I haven't really heard anything from Chevrolet on this, yeah. But Ferrari has tried to join IndyCar. Mm-hmm. IndyCar said no. Could Ford possibly join IndyCar? But they're not going to want to join IndyCar because of the current cars that IndyCar is running. It is the most competitive
form of racing, but
the chassis are 12 years old, and there has to be improvements.
It's like you have a horse and then it dies and you just keep beating it.
It's just beating up a dead horse.
You need to get a new horse. It's not going to go anywhere.
There has to be improvements, but I'm gonna read more into the article here. Let's get into it. A small two-car team such as Dale Coyne Racing can take on the giants such as Team Penske, Chip Ganassi Racing, Arrow McLaren, Andretti Global, and Ray Hall Letterman Lanigan Racing and beat them to the checkered flag. This is just more information. This has happened six times in Dale Coyne Racing's career as the team has beaten the best teams to win an IndyCar Series race. But it hasn't happened often. A new car would be essential to...
It'd be essential to everyone, yeah. Just to stop, like, all of, the hate, you know, you get. Because, you know, it's everybody knows you need a new car, and you're just like, I don't want it. You just do it.
More information in this article. Later this season, perhaps as early as the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio on July 7th, the hybrid assist unit will make its competitive debut, adding another technological element to a form of racing that could use an update. This is more what Dale Coyne had to say. We used to buy a new car every year, and we'd spend $400,000 for a new car every year. We're going to spend $1 million a car this year to upgrade this 12-year-old car. The hybrid system all in, when you're all done, is going to cost $100 million in entry to do.
Oof.
It's not that we are cheap and we don't want to spend the money. Could we spend it smarter and wiser? I agree.
This
is what Dale Coyne had to say. this is just very obvious. We're spending the money, that's for sure. Despite the additional $1 million per car, Coyne supports the move to hybrid technology, because it is important to Honda and Chevrolet, the two engine suppliers in IndyCar, which is very true.
Wait, hang on. Did I guess it? Just bring Tesla in.
No. Oh, well, yeah. I think it's necessary for the manufacturers. It's funny. I bought a Honda Accord Hybrid a couple years ago, and I was naive. I got home, and I said, where's the plug-in?
Yeah.
Well, there's no plug-in. Okay, it just regenerates itself, which that's pretty awesome. Regenerates the battery. It's just pretty sick. So that's very interesting.
I think solar powered?
Yeah.
Probably.
Moving on here, this is just, it has been the IndyCar derail of news. Graham Rahal, this is from Joey Barnes of Motorsport.com. IndyCar needs to focus on parts shortage, not new teams. I was researching this last night. I thought this was very interesting. So let's get to it. The surging growth that has seen the full-time entries go from 18 in 2017 to now 27 teams in the NTT IndyCar Series has presented an ongoing problem that continues to worsen. That number is likely to only get tighter next year with Prema fielding two cars. This is what Graham Rahal had to say about the importance of keeping the IndyCar Series healthy and by not spreading itself too thin with resources. And also, at this time, there's a collective effort to push forward with a charter system in IndyCar. This isn't a cold take, but in my opinion, we don't need new teams right now, said Graham Rahal. It's a great thing to have Prema, which is a very well-known international team. The reality is we need to get what we've got first. We need to be able to supply the teams. There were some issues during the month of May for Graham Rahal. Obviously, he did not make... Well, he did race the Indianapolis 500, but he was bumped during bump day out of the Indianapolis 500 with Rahal, Letterman, Lanigan Racing, and then he was able to sub in for a injured Stephen Wilson, so and drive for Ryan Reinbold. But here we go. This is the issues that Graham Rahal faced during the month of May. We ordered a new chassis for me for the Indianapolis 500. It was supposed to be the beginning of December when it was supposed to arrive. We just got it in early April this year. Oof. Early April this year.
Oof.
Now it's a mad thrash just to get that car ready to go race. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I can see where he's coming from.
Oh, there's more. No, we're not done. There's more here. There's more.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here's more.
We're going overtime.
Those issues also extended to teammate Christian Lundgaard, who suffered side pod damage in the opening lap of the heat race during the Thermal Club Expedition in March. With no spares available, his pit crew were forced to take a side pod from another teammate's car. Doesn't even have enough side pods for his car. Yep. The scarcity of parts goes beyond just side pods, too. It's front wings, it's rear wings, it's floors, it's everything, said Lundgaard. It's more components as well. Luckily, all the teams are in the same trouble. So, we have issues with the creation of a new car, and now we're having scarcity for finding parts for these IndyCar teams. You're hearing it here, folks.
Yeah.
You're hearing it here, folks, on the All Gas and No Brakes radio show.
He has a point.
This isn't Jeremiah and I just, like, you know, just throwing hatred towards IndyCar or just really showing displeasure. We're just voicing our opinions.
We're just calling it as we see it.
Calling it as it is. But moving on, we'll go back to some NASCAR news here. Some happier news.
Okay.
Here we go. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series was also at Kansas Speedway under the lights. Picking up his second win of the season was Corey Heim. Second was Zane Smith. Third, Christian Eckes. Fourth, Caden Honeycutt. Great result for him. Fifth, Brett Moffitt. Sixth, Nick Sanchez. Seventh, Taylor Gray. And eighth, Dean Thompson. Ninth, Daniel Dye. And tenth, Matt Crafton. It was a very good race. Not really a lot of cautions occurred or really anything major. It was really just really tight battling and great racing at Kansas Speedway, and the trucks put on a great show, and they showed what the racing was going to be like for the NASCAR Cup Series drivers. I'm going to go over the point standings here. I'm going to go over the top 10. First, Corey Himes. Second, Christian Eckes. Third, Nick Sanchez. Fourth, Ty Majeski. Fifth, Tyler Ankum. Sixth, Rajah Carruth. Seventh, Taylor Gray. Eighth, Matt Crafton. Ninth, Tanner Gray. And 10th, Grant Enfinger. Also, the ARCA Menards Series was also at Kansas Speedway for the Tide 150. Picking up the win was Connor Mozak. Second was Tanner Gray. Third was Dean Thompson. Fourth was Chris Wright. Fifth was Jake Finch. Sixth was Andy. Hopefully I could pronounce this name right. I can't. It's the sixth place driver, Mr. Penrod. He's great at English.
Jankovac.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Jankovac.
Yeah, you could go list the rest of the field if you'd like.
Andy Perez.
And seventh.
Amber McLean.
Eighth.
Marco Andretti.
Ninth.
Tony
Redinger. Breidinger.
Breidinger,
yep.
That's close.
Finishing 10th. So, and Marco Andretti was in the race, who will be racing in the Apples 500 this year. The Andretti name is so famous.
But doesn't mean much.
When it comes to...
When
it comes to the Indianapolis 500 Formula One... but Marco's trying it out in NASCAR, mm-hmm. and that's just great to see, and he's having success. The next race for the ARCA Menards Series will be the General Tire 150 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It'll be the sixth race of the 20-season schedule. This race will occur Friday, May 24th, and it'll start at 6 p.m. You can watch this on Fox Sports 1, and you can listen to it on the radio at the Motor Racing Network. 150 miles, 100 laps. Should be a great race.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, the next race for them. This coming weekend, people, for the NASCAR Cup Series, NASCAR Xfinity Series, the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Throwback weekend, people. Throwback. I'm pretty sure I don't know if this is a throwback weekend. But anyways, the drivers are heading to the track. Too Tough to Tame. The Lady in Black. Darlington Oof. Raceway.
Oof.
Drivers better be careful because...
There is going to be a wreck.
Yeah, there's going to be many one. Darlington stripes left on that wall. That track will... track bites.
Always is.
And track all,
always does.
Yeah, and it's ruthless. Doesn't care who you are. Doesn't. It's why it's called the track Too Tough to Tame.
Mm-hmm.
Denny Hamlin, that is one of his best racetracks statistically. Multiple wins. He's going to be a favorite to win at Darlington. Moving on. NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series will race Friday, May 10th at 7:30 p.m. And NASCAR Xfinity Series will be Saturday, May 11th at 1:30 p.m. at Darlington Raceway. And then Formula One, and a fast forward to Formula One here before we get into NASCAR Cup Series and IndyCar. The Imola Romagna Grand, I believe it's Imola Romagna Grand Prix, not Romania, excuse me, will be Sunday, May 19th at 9 a.m. Formula One drivers are heading back to Italy. And then the NASCAR Cup Series will race at Darlington Raceway for the Goodyear 400 Sunday, May 12th at 3 p.m. And then to wrap up the All Gas and No Brakes radio show, the Sonsino Grand Prix will be May 11th at 3 o'clock p.m. You can watch that on NBC, which will be here in 5 days. I will not be at the race, but I will be watching it from home on my TV, so it should be a great race. And then after that race is over, people, the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, the first oval race of the NTT IndyCar Series season.
What a way to kick it off for the oval tracks.
Yep, exactly. And that's going to wrap it up for the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We're ending early today. It is 8:36 a.m. We are ending early. We're ending early today, buddy. We started a little early. Actually, we started later. That's it. That's all the news I have. You can start your country show early, so let's wrap it up.
It is
my fault. I'm an idiot. 7:45 to 8:30. Yep, you got me. Let's wrap this thing up. I am so sorry. Apparently, Big Nelly...
is a talker.
Has lost track of time, and I think I'm sleep deprived. So
don't worry, I am too.
But yeah, thank you, Mr. Penrod, for being a part of the All Gas and No Brakes Racer and keeping Big Nelly on his toes and keeping him accountable for time. And I'm so sorry, but thank you, buddy, for being on the show. Let's get to that outro, shall we? Let's do this thing, people. Let's do it. Let's go. Thank you, listeners, for listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. You can listen every Monday morning from 7:45 to 8:30 a.m. only on Indy's Giant 90.9. If you miss a live episode, that's okay because you can go to audioboom.com to listen to an episode you may have missed. For Jeremiah Perrin, for your host, Lena Nelson, a.k.a. Big Nelly, thank you guys for listening to the All Gas and No Brakes Radio Show. We'll see you guys later. Big Nelly is out!